Virgil Crook, Sunday PM, August 28th, 2011.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 17 and verse 4. John 17, verse 4. We'll continue examining the statements that Jesus makes in his prayer. I believe this is number 5 we'll consider tonight. Verse 17:4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Last Sunday we considered the first part of this verse. I have glorified you on the earth. And he glorified the Father because he finished the work that the Father gave him to do. We've considered this relationship from the beginning of this particular study of the Father and the Son. The Father gave the Son a job to do. He did it. He did it right. He did it fully. He did it completely the first time. The word once is used 5 times in Hebrews in reference to the work of redemption which Jesus finished. Let's read just one reference in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Hebrews 10, verse 10, by that will, the will of Jesus being willing to do what the Father gave him to do, by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Wonderful words, once for all. I believe there's a song in the Grace and Glory titled Once for All. What wonderful words they are. Once for all. How different we are when it comes to doing and finishing a job. And the best example I know is before you. I can remember as a child, my dad used to give me chores or jobs to do. I worked for him for a while, and he'd give me something to do, and I would I've done the job. And he would come and look at it and said, well, I won't say what he said, but he didn't say anything bad or nasty, but obviously I didn't finish the job. I asked my wife to make a list, and the list I'm going to talk about is not a honey-do list, okay? Because my wife doesn't give me those lists. She's a honey, but I don't do. But anyway, I asked her just what came to mind of projects around the house that I haven't finished. I'm a good starter. And she was very gracious and wrote, she said, and you're not going to make fun of me. No, I wouldn't do that. She wrote down about 8 or 10 different projects that I have started around the house and haven't finished yet. That's the way I am. Maybe you're not that way. I hope not everybody's that way. But anyway, I am. But we're speaking here of, not me, but Jesus. I have finished the work. You parents, I'm sure, have had the experience of telling your children to do something. Like the simplest thing I know of is simply clean up your room, pick up your toys. And you wait a little bit, and somebody comes down and says, okay, I'm done. Got it all done. Well, you know how that goes. You go in there, and there's still some things around that didn't get picked up. Jesus did not forget to do something. Now, sometimes I don't finish something, I just plumb forget. He didn't try to cut corners. How often do jobs get done halfway because somebody tries to cut a corner? He didn't get in a big hurry, and he didn't lag behind. He finished the work that the Father gave him to do. I have finished the work. By glorifying his Father during his life and his ministry, we already considered that last time, right here on this earth, he was able to finish the work. The work that he finished was, of course, redemption. That's the work we're talking about here. The word finish means to complete, accomplish, consummate, make perfect, bring an activity to an end. To be completely successful in accomplishing some goal or attaining some state. To be completely successful, to succeed fully. To fully accomplish one's task satisfactorily. To perform one's complete duty. All of these, I'm sure that you understand, apply so aptly to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the thought is here, to the meaning of the word finish, to be thorough, to do it right in every detail the first time. I don't know if you've ever had a do-over. I have. I've done many things over for simply because I wasn't as careful as I should have been. I wasn't as thorough. So do it and be done with it. Oftentimes you'll hear the expression when somebody has done something and it was done, it's finished, and it's operable, or in other words, it works, whatever that is. But it's not really according to specification, and it's not really as good as it should have been, but well, it's good enough. The term that you hear a lot is good enough for government work, but we don't work for the government anyway. But you know, it's good enough. It works. It could have been better, but well, again, Jesus didn't do the work of redemption this way. Let's turn to John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus made it very clear from the beginning of his ministry what his purpose and goal was during the time here on this earth. I have glorified you on this earth. And part of that glorifying was the fact that he finished the work. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, I think you know the situation here. It was the disciples and Jesus were hungry and they took off to find something to eat. And in the meantime, he met with the Samaritan woman. You know the story. Then they came back with some food. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And he made it very clear here that he had a work to do. And he was determined to finish that work. Jesus was saying here, what satisfies me is the desire and pleasure of finishing my Father's work. Not mine, but his. We've seen before how he delighted to do the will of God. He's saying, I delight to do your will and do it right. Our tendency so often as human beings is to do a job halfway or half-hazard, or there's many different expressions that you can use of how the job gets done, but it isn't really done. Now, Jesus worked many miracles. We considered this fact before, but these are not the work to which he's referring in this verse. We'll read in John 5 and verse 36. Yes, he did many works, and while those works had their place and their importance, the work he came to do was to redeem Adam's race. Not to perform miracles, not to do wonders, but he came to redeem Adam's race. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But I have a greater witness than John, says Jesus, for the works, in plural, which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness to me that the Father has sent me. The miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus did not only manifested the Father, as we've already seen in our study, but they also were proof that Jesus had been sent by the Father. And notice how he speaks of these works. The works which the Father has given me to finish. Not to think about or to work on, but to finish. So Jesus finished these works. Jesus did innumerable miracles and without doubt could have done even more. But if that was all he did, if all Jesus was a miracle worker, then Adam's race would still be doomed to eternal loss. I'm sure you realize that. If Jesus, all that Jesus did, and we could talk about all those miracles and be impressed with them, but they didn't save us. The word that Jesus uses here is singular, work. I have finished the work, not works, but work. And it's true that Jesus had finished the works, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. We don't read that Jesus did any more of that. And all of this manifested and glorified the Father, but all of those miracles, signs, and wonders, and many more besides, could not and did not redeem mankind. There was but one work which could and did do that, and that is redemption. Let's turn to Luke 13 and verse 32. Luke 13 and verse 32. Keep in mind the basic meaning of the word finish that he uses here, to completely accomplish a task. In Luke 13:32, Jesus, that the Pharisees had made a statement about Herod's about Herod, and Jesus answers this way. He said unto them, "Go, tell that fox," that is, tell Herod, he calls him a fox here, "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." That's an interesting statement. I'm sure they understood nothing of what he was saying. "On the third day I shall be perfected." The Amplified here says, "On the third day I finish or complete my course." And the Complete Jewish Bible says, "On the third day I reach my goal." And if you consult other versions, you'll find similar renderings of the fact that Jesus said in King James and New King James, "The third day I shall be perfected. I will finish my course. I will reach my goal." What was his goal? His goal was to finish the Father's work, to do the Father's will. Let's turn to John 19 and verse 30. John 19 and verse 30. Jesus makes a similar statement on the cross. What we're considering here, of course, are Jesus' words to his Father in his prayer. And he says simply, "I have finished the work." He doesn't elaborate. He doesn't specify what this work is, because the Father knew. He knew what work he had given the Son to do. And Jesus says in his prayer, "I have finished that work." In John 19 and verse 30, we see Jesus hanging on a cross. He's in a public display, surrounded by a multitude of people that were looking on. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now those looking on, who knows what they might have thought about this phrase, about this statement, "It is finished." But for you and I, these are blessed words indeed, words of victory, comfort, and hope for a lost and dying world. It is finished. Now Jesus spoke these words at this time for the benefit of the crowd, so that they might know and understand. The Father already understood. Now the word "finished" in this verse is a little bit different from the word that we had in John 17:4. The word here means to end, to execute, to conclude, or to discharge a debt. And especially it has the latter meaning, to discharge a debt. English Standard Version has it this way in John 17:4. "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Having finished the work, I glorified you. As we mentioned before, each and every miracle, sign, and wonder that Jesus did glorified the Father. But those things are not in view here. This is not the subject matter of Jesus' statement here. There was one work which far outshined all others in importance and value, and upon which all others depended. That is an accomplished redemption. A full, free, accomplished redemption. Jesus was saying, in effect, yes, Father, all those works glorified you. They're not without their importance. But what really glorified you was redemption. My turn to Revelation 5, verse 9. We will not worship Christ throughout the endless ages of eternity because he worked great and mighty miracles. We will not call him worthy because he healed us or supplied our needs or worked some other miracle in our lives, though he does do those things. We'll worship him and we'll call him worthy because he redeemed us with his own blood on Calvary's cross. If the Lord never allowed one miracle in your life, if he never healed you, if he never supplied your need, this is a scenario that won't happen, but let's just suppose that it's that way. You still have grounds and reason to worship him throughout all eternity. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals." Why? Notice that there is no mention here of the great works which he did, of the great things that he taught, but it was because you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It's interesting how people get so stirred and worked up over miracles when the greatest miracle of all is redemption. That's the greatest miracle, isn't it? Sometimes we get so taken up with the fact that Jesus heals, Jesus works miracles, and those are good, and that's all part of redemption too, by the way. But had he not taken the time and the effort to accomplish to the nth degree, so to speak, the will of the Father, what good would it do? I'm going to quote here from Wiest. He has an interesting thought on this phrase. In John 19:30, our Lord cries from the cross, "It is finished," referring to his work of procuring for the lost sinners a salvation from sin through the blood of his cross. The entire sense is, and I like his phrasing here, "It is finished, and as a result, it is forever done." Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh brother, believe it. Once for all, it was finished, and as a result, it is forever done. Now in this life, going back to our example of projects and jobs that we do, many times we do finish a job, we do it right, we do it good, it's done, it's finished. But later on, as the years roll by, it has to be done again. You can have a house that you have roofed. You put the roofing on as you should, it's done right, it's done the best it can be done, it's done, finished. And 20 or 30 years later, you're going to do it again. It stands finished, says Wiest. Would be a good translation. It stands finished. Forever finished. The priest in the tabernacle always stood when ministering the sacrifices, but our great high priest is seated. His work is finished. He need never arise to offer another sacrifice. Once for all. The mighty voice of the expiring Redeemer was nothing else but the triumphant spirit of the dying victor. The scaffolding of the ancient economy is taken down. He has inaugurated the kingdom of God and given birth to a new world. It is finished. As the song goes, lo, behold, the mighty conqueror. Lo, behold him in plain view. He is the mighty conqueror since he rent the veil in two. He did not say on the cross, as perhaps many might have thought he said, I'm finished. As you look at the scene, that seems to be a logical thing to say. I'm finished. But no. He said, it is finished. That is, redemption is complete. Nothing to add, nothing to do. Jesus did it all. The law has been fulfilled. Judgment and justice are satisfied. God can be just and a justifier of all who believe. His righteousness is satisfied. The door of grace, mercy, and love is swung wide open. All who will may come and drink of the water of the of life freely. It is finished. Let's turn to Matthew 27. Read verses 50 and 51. It is finished. It is completely done. It has been done satisfactorily. The one who sent him to do the job was totally satisfied with it. The way into the Holy of Holies has been forever open to all who will come by faith. Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. This is quite a phenomenon, isn't it? But it tells us much more than simply there was something that shook the ground. Without doubt, the very hand of God reached down and rent the veil in two, thus telling the whole world the way is now open to the throne of grace. I have been satisfied. Come, accept my offer of grace through my Son. We don't have to stand on the outside. We enter into the very presence of the Almighty God. I hope that you understand what that means. I hope that you appreciate the privilege that you have to come boldly. Hebrews 10, let's read it in Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, not in arrogance, we don't come to this place arrogantly, but we do come boldly, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. We have boldness to enter into the holiest of holies, the very presence of God. And have you not had the privilege many times to have felt that holy presence as you go to God in prayer or as you walk with him day by day? I'm going to read here an explanation that Wiersbe gives, and others also give the same explanation about the word or the phrase. And in English, it's a phrase. It is finished. And he says, and others agree with him, I consulted other authors, it is finished is one word in the Greek text. It's one word. The word was a common one used by merchants to mean the price is all paid. Papyri receipts for taxes have been recovered with the word written across them, meaning paid in full. When an artist completed a picture or a writer a manuscript, he would say, it is finished. He would use this same Greek word. The death of Jesus on the cross completes the picture, so to speak, that God had been painting, the story of redemption that he had been writing for centuries. It's all finished, starting back in Genesis. That's the beginning of the story of redemption. And now this is the end. It is finished. Shepherds and priests used the same Greek word when they found a perfect sheep ready for sacrifice. Christ died as a perfect Lamb of God. Servants, when their work was completed, would use this same word when reporting to their masters. Christ, the obedient servant, had finished the work the Father had given him to do. It is finished. It is finished. Now, when Jesus spoke these words in his prayer, the work was not finished, historically speaking, was it? Jesus at this moment had not been to the cross yet. There was still something to come in the future. This was accomplished by his death, burial, and resurrection. But he spoke the words as if the work was historically accomplished because there was no doubt of the outcome. There was no doubt that Jesus would indeed finish the work. Turn to John 14. Read the first three verses. Much, much, much could be said, has been said, and will continue to be said about redemption. We enjoy a full, free redemption. We have been redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. There is nothing left out. There is no need that hasn't already been met. We are complete in Him because He completed the work. But there are a couple of things we want to look at briefly in closing that Jesus has yet to finish. Now, redemption is finished. Nothing more to do. By faith, we enter into the fullness of a complete work. But let's read these words in John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Notice what he says now. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The work of redemption is done. But yet it seems as though he is finishing something very personal for you and I. He says, there are many mansions in my Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you. What a wonderful thought. Jesus has redeemed us by his blood. That is over. We are bought with a price. And now he is preparing a place for us. And I believe that he will do just as good a job. Preparing my mansion, preparing a place for me as he did in finishing the work of redemption. I have no doubt my place will be finished to my liking and to his glory. It's all in his hands. I didn't tell him what I wanted him to do. I've never told the Lord what I want or what I expect on the other side, because really I don't know what to expect. But I know that this man, who finished in every detail all that the Father gave him to do, will finish a place for me also. That gives me comfort, that gives me hope tonight, that he's preparing a place for me. This is very personal to me. Very personal. I'm sure that you will have a place also, but that doesn't concern me in this particular situation. Yes, I am concerned about your place in heaven, but thinking of my place, and you can think the same way, your place, the place that he is preparing for you, it will be finished. It will be finished. In this life, quite often we have a house built for us. There's blueprints, there's plans, there's specifications, there's colors, there's, well, everything, you know. And it's, when you move in, it's supposed to be done, and you're done. But it doesn't work that way, really, in this life. But in heaven, it will. One other reference in Philippians 1 and verse 6. I mention these two references because the same person who finished the plan of redemption, brought it to a completion, to a satisfactory completion, is in charge of these two events. One is our mansion that he's building for us on high, the place he's preparing for us. Here's the other, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Brother Doug mentioned this morning that it seems like he gets discouraged once in a while. And sometimes kind of wants to kind of quit. And if you haven't been there, I don't believe you. Because that's where we are sometimes. And then when I'm in that particular situation, this is one of the scriptures that comes to my mind. The one who finished the plan of redemption began a good work in me years ago. And I have the confidence that he will complete it. He will bring it to a completion. If I will only yield to him, that's all that he asks. He doesn't ask for my advice. He doesn't ask me to lay hold of some kind of an instrument and help him in some way. All that he asks is that I do what he did and yield my will to him. Not my will, but yours be done. And if I will but do that, I am assured through the word of God that I will be on that day everything that he ever wanted me to be. That is my confidence. Being confident, says Paul, of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, he has a good track record, doesn't he? This man has a good track record. What he has started, he has finished. He has finished it completely. He has finished it satisfactorily. And my future is in his hand. Let's stand tonight and worship the Lord in closing.